So I had a really cool dude, Rob Tracy, here. He was so fun. I really like speaking to him because I love people that are really experienced in what they do and come out here to really empower people. And so he's a dynamic performance coach, right? So he's really helping high achievers. I know none of y'all high achievers out there, right? Mm-hmm. I know if you listen to Straight Talk, you are definitely a high achiever and you are really trying to have some sort of a balance in life to really know how to do that work-life juggle, right? And so this is the guy for you. I'm going to really want you to sit and watch this. I'm going to shut up so you can go ahead, because when you have good people that really are coming onto your podcast to really share knowledge and thoughts, it's important for you guys to pay attention. So I love you guys so much for everything that you do to support this channel. I'm so freaking grateful. All right, I'm going to shut up now. You can go on ahead and enjoy. What up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited that you're here. I'm loving you guys. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff. I cannot believe the numbers. You guys are blowing my mind. I think we're like at 150,000 downloads, and that's on the podcast. And then on YouTube, we got like 157,000 views and like 5,000 people. I mean, you guys are just like killing it. So I freaking love you. Thank you so much. You know, I go around this amazing planet finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Now I got Rob for y'all. Y'all ready to be transformed? Because I got Rob. Okay. We're diving into the art of resilience and balance and sustainable success. And Rob Tracy is here. He's a dynamic performance coach and an entrepreneur who empowers high achievers to not only avoid burnout, but to thrive both personally and professionally. Now, with a holistic approach to success, he's all about helping entrepreneurs break through stagnation, all right? Mastering that work-life juggle. Thank you for saying it like that. I love that. We're going to talk about that and create growth that lasts. So, Rob, thank you for being here, because I know you have all of these actionable strategies and all this great stuff going on. But before we get into all your greatness, I do want to know more about you, though. Who are you, dude? Who are you?
Yeah. Well, first I got to say thank you for having me on, because this is an honor. I'm super excited. This is like once a lifetime kind of thing, connecting with somebody like you in front of a great audience. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Where do you want to kind of take things off? Where do you want to begin with?
I want to know who Rob is. Who are you? I want to know where you take that. Where do you take that question?
Yeah. Well, a couple of different directions. I'm a competitive eater. I've won a couple of meatball eating competitions, for a second
so
in
cool.
a donut eating competition. But
I
more importantly, I'm a coach. So I love working with other individuals, kind of building up, working towards a common goal. Basically, it came from my background in sports. Split parents when I was super young, and sports and teams, they became my new family. And we would get together in the gym, on the field, whatever we were doing, building that camaraderie. And that really helped me develop who I am today. I started with just a couple jumping jacks and stretches back in the day, and that opened up my journey to personal development. And down the road, it brought me into strength and conditioning. I got my master's in exercise science with a concentration in performance enhancement and injury prevention. That led me leading with high level athletes. And then eventually I built my book of business up to a point where I was working 10 to 15 hour days, 7 days a week for about 3 years straight, like skipping at the time of this recording, it's like right around Thanksgiving. So I was skipping all the holidays, birthday parties, weddings, friends, babies being born. I was missing all of those things. But most importantly, I missed out on the final moments of my dad. He got really sick with pancreatic cancer, and I chose to continue working instead of being by his side. And what it didn't really hit me until a year later that I was never going to get that time back.
Right.
When it finally did, I decided I needed to change my approach. I needed to figure out something else that I need to be doing. And because of coaching, because of my background and working together with other individuals, I became the perfect candidate for my own coaching and what I do now. I help other individuals avoid burnout while continuing to break through different forms of stagnation and build better communities and just really just live a better life, help them look good, feel good, do great things.
You know, that's really important too, Rob, because, you know, I'm such a high achiever, right? So I'm always like every career I've been in, everything I've ever done, even my businesses, I just keep going at it, kind of like you were doing every day, all day. It's just what I love to do. I thought, right? I love, because I do love working, to be honest with you. I love productivity. I love getting things done. Like I love checking off lists. I love all of that. But to my own demise in a way, because I got really bad autoimmune conditions that I'm now contending with. Right. So now I'm actually trying to do the reversal of all these things, Sjogren's disease and Graves' disease and all this stuff going on. Right. And it was because of the 15-hour work days, you know, and just constantly at it and constantly trying to achieve that next goal. And so I love that you've taken the approach of, okay, we can do that, but you don't have to kill yourself in the process. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing you say. And also the fact that you did have to miss that opportunity, or you chose to miss that opportunity with dad, because it is something you can't take back. And I think that's why these conversations are so important, Rob, because there's so many people that listen to the show and you keep your head in the grind thinking that, oh, I got to pay the bills. I got to take care of the family. I gotta. And then you look up one day and people are gone. Relationships are broken, right? Things aren't there anymore. You don't know who to turn to anymore because you've been working for so long that you didn't get up to breathe, right?
Exactly.
And so that must have been a really tough time for you. And, you know, I do want to go back for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
With the split up of the family, right, and the sports becoming your new family, I have to say I really admire you for taking that route. I've spoken to many people whose families break up and – they take a totally different route, right? Some of the people I've spoken to take the route of doing drugs, take the route of doing damage to themselves, right, and to others. Was the sport thing because it was already ingrained in you? Was that like a family thing? Because I think sports are really important. I'm not a sports person, but I've seen the impact of the difference when I meet someone who's in sports. Was that something that was just ingrained?
I would say yes and no. So my dad was a lot more into sports than my mom was. And when my parents split, I was introverted, kind of, I'd rather sit on the couch, watch TV, play video games kind of thing. And I'm really big into gratitude. So I show gratitude and appreciation to a lot of different things in life. But I got to show a lot of appreciation to my one friend, Sean, because he became my one real friend when we finally stopped moving around, changing school districts, and I found my home. He was such a great anchor to me because his dad actually was a huge influence because he was the youth football coach. And he got me to come out to football practice, even though my dad had tried and pushed for years beforehand, but he's the one who actually got me to go. And like I said, so that first day of football practice, I learned like two really important lessons. The first one being that you can't wear jeans to football practice. So I learned quickly, like, okay, if I want to get into this, I got to dress and I got to participate. But the second thing I learned too was a lot of the popular kids, they were able to get through the warmups with ease. They were running around, they were jumping, catching, they were athletic, moving around. And I noticed that. And I noticed that I wasn't quite to that same level. And I was struggling to do the warmup lap. And I began with just what I could, was the jumping jacks, a couple of sit-ups or push-ups, a few things here and there at home on my own, which eventually led to me getting it down pat. And I got better at it and better at it. And the better I got at it led to more playing time.
Yeah.
The more playing time that I had, the more friends I'd develop on the team. And the more friends I'd develop on the team, I'd get invited to more birthday parties and things outside of sports. And if I wanted to make sure that I was going to these birthday parties and stuff, my mom made sure my grades were on par because I couldn't go if my grades weren't up. So this really was the gateway to my personal development, which then led to like eating better and things. But at the same time, though, that actually instilled this paradox because I had attached my value and worth to my performance.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good grades, better playing, captain status, championships, all those things. So I was constantly striving for that next thing. And then that's where I got trapped with working 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was kind of pushing, looking for ways to make more money while I was still sacrificing all this time.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, what I was really looking for is attention, community, camaraderie, all these things.
Yeah.
But my focus was on like the money and the badge of honor or being too busy with work and such. So when I was sacrificing the attention that really meant the most to me, so like my dad, for this false attention of making money and being busy and all that things. And then once it hit home to me that I was misaligned, that's when it came crashing down. And that's partially why I work so hard to build community, to foster better relationships, and constantly working on my communication, not just one-to-many, but one-on-one.
Yeah.
Getting to develop better relationships with people.
That's important, isn't it? It's true when they say, you know, community is powerful, and also it takes a village, right? Because when you were younger, because your friend's father stepped in, it changed the trajectory of where you could have been going, right?
Yeah.
And that's so important, right? And so that it seems like, and I know you work with adults, but it almost seems like you took that model and are now doing it within your business, right? The model of, let me help you through this. You can do this. You can, you know, really align your life. So how was that for you when you first started doing it though? Because I know for me, I find myself still like going at it. Like sometimes I'll be at work 15 hours, you know, doing all of the stuff that I do here with the 50,000 tabs open and the whole thing. And sometimes my husband will come and tap me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, I'm alive and I'm still here. And I'm like, oh my God. And I have to turn everything off. So how do you keep yourself from doing that? But before that, how did you feel having to let stuff go? Because that's a transition, right?
Yeah.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah. I'll speak to letting things go. It still is a difficult thing. Recently hiring a small team to kind of help me with a lot of tech and some side projects and things I've got going on. To also even just telling clients like, hey, no, like I can't be taking coaching calls after a certain time, or even with the holiday coming up, making sure that I put that buffer in so that I'm still allowing time for myself, because it's easy to get into that people pleasing when you're a coach or a role model of some sort. Yeah. So it's gaining clarity on what it is I'm working. Where are my boundaries? What are the goals I'm trying to achieve, but also what are the deadlines to achieve those goals too? Because there were times where I'd be pushing, and I would sacrifice certain things that really meant a lot to me just so I could work towards that goal a little bit for much longer of a time too. So having deadlines was a big thing for me to be like, okay, hey, I didn't quite hit my goal. Let me get into a different season now. Let me slow down, rebuild season, replanning season. If that goal is still pretty close, then maybe I'll put that in for the next sprint season where I know I need to grind. But for this time being, how close did I get? Let me spend some time reflecting on that without, so I don't get caught in robot mode and just continuously grind.
Yeah, robot mode is a real thing, man. I'm telling you, that's a real thing. So
that's not the bad thing, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
So robot mode is important. You want to be able to flip into that. The bad thing is getting stuck in that and lacking the awareness, because that's where you lose the human aspect of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And you also said something important. You got a team to help you. I got a team too. Let me tell you, it has made my life so much better. Because when you're coaching, let's be real, we're solopreneurs sometimes, right? You're like, you start off being a solopreneur. You start doing everything yourself. And then you start to realize you're starting to burn out really quickly on top of the fact that you're taking care of clients. Like it's a thing, right? And it's a thing that's been happening to a lot of coaches. And it isn't until you bring in a team to kind of help you with that a little bit, right? So I actually started training VAs about a year and a half ago to work mainly with coaches and consultants, right? And so they are now at the point where they are a smooth running machine. So now I'm helping other coaches by giving them the VAs to help them. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot, Rob. I mean, on top of the fact that you got to now be socially present and you got to make sure everything's working and get the client and do the funnels and get the, you know, it's like a lot of stuff. So give me an example, or if you have like a case study, I'd love to hear of a high performer that you've had, right? And how were you able to navigate or help them navigate that to be better today?
Yeah. So this young guy, Jeffrey, he came to me. He's been working in this position that he really likes the position, and he likes a lot of the people around, but it hasn't been the best spot for him. And he came to me originally with wanting to lose a little bit of weight to build some confidence and maybe ask for a promotion and so on. And so then we started kind of starting from the ground zero. All right, how do we expand our comfort zone, get to the gym, working out a little bit more, working on some people skills and such. And then it came time for asking for the promotion. So he's been practicing networking, connecting, communicating.
Awesome.
But unfortunately, he didn't get that promotion. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he ended up getting, I wouldn't say it was a demotion. It was like a lateral movement, but it still was just more work, more responsibility, mm-hmm. same pay and all this other stuff. And so that was really eating away at him because that really crushed him. And he's also an author too. So he loves writing, but because of his job, he doesn't get to dedicate time to his writing. So we had to do some deep dive in to figure things out. Like, how do we get more towards the writing world? And the ultimate answer being was that he needed to leave that position and find a new job that was at least going to help carry him along. So then he got back into the whole communicating, practicing, networking, job application, and then job interview after interview after interview, constantly getting no. And an earlier version of him would have just given it up and gone back to the old job, right, kind of asking. But because he had been building and pushing his comfort zone, he started to develop this resilience so that he can handle these no's. And even though he was getting beat down on it, he kept looking forward to the next one because he was learning from these conversations.
Yeah.
To the point where he came to me and he's like, dude, I don't know about this anymore, but the new problem is I've got not one, but two job offers to this really great, two awesome companies. So his new problem became, which one do I take? Not where do I do or where do I go?
Right.
So he ultimately took a position that he really loves. Now he's able to work a lot more on his book. He's pumping where he was originally working to get to like maybe 30 pages in a month. Now he's pumping out like 15 to 20 pages every day, just banging this book out. So he's not only right finishing his book, he's connecting with more people, helping people build and tell their stories as like an author and helping them. But then also he's got this job that he loves and he's connecting with awesome people.
So yeah, isn't that great?
Powerful.
That's
guy.
So yeah. Good. That's so good. That's so good. Like you said so many powerful things there because what he learned was resilience and grit. And the truth is we all need resilience and grit. You know, like I was a director of culinary because I've been a chef for like 2 decades and I, you know, run restaurants and all that great stuff. And I remember when I was transitioning into my coaching and I was trying to stay in the culinary world, I realized I wasn't aligned anymore. Like every single job just was not aligning. And I'm like, what is the deal? I was so frustrated. But then I realized it's because I was trying to like really put a circle into a square peg. I mean, you just can't do it. When you're not aligned or when it's not for you, it's not for you. And I love that you said he learned from every conversation he had, because that's what you need to do. You need to take like 1,000 no's so that you are a master when you get to the yes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy for Jeff. That's amazing. Good for him, right? Good for him.
Yeah.
How good does it feel though, as a coach, right? When you can lead people to that greatness. Isn't that amazing?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, it's the greatest because you're energized, you're amped up and you can see how positive and how happy they are from achieving it and realizing like, wow, I can't believe I did this or I am doing this or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I know. It's such a good feeling. I think that's why I love being a coach so much. I used to nourish the soul, right, in culinary, but now I nourish the mind and it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I know that we talked about, how you combine strategies, right, for mental and physical well-being. So talk to me about the journey that a client goes on if they want to work with you, because I want to talk about that. Like, what does it look like to work with Rob? I mean, we have an example in Jeff, but I want to know more about your program and what you do.
Yeah. So it's pretty much all about bringing awareness to the things that work specifically for them as an individual. Because there's a lot of a lot of cookie cutter things. There's a lot of great coaching programs out there, and there's a lot of things, but unless you can adapt it for the individual, it's never going to work to the fullest extent that it possibly could. So when they're coming in, it's a lot of sitting down, kind of figuring out where the problem might be or where do they need to kind of spend a little more time strengthening and kind of diving deep into that. And then from there, once we kind of develop a game plan strategy on how we're going to navigate this kind of like a journey, then we go through different exercises on our coaching calls. We have different exercises to help build us up mentally, physically, communication. There's role playing situations. There's planning and optimization strategies. A lot of different things going into these calls.
Right.
But then to make sure that they're sticking, there's homework assignments. So then the next time when we touch base, it's, okay, how did we do? Did we follow through with the journaling? Did we change this, this and that in the schedule? Did we reach out to X, Y, and Z and make sure that we had those connections? And then when we reassess that, it's like, okay, we did, or okay, we didn't. What needs to change or what needs to be improved and what are the next steps? So we're constantly pushing the wheel forward one way or another.
So your program is mostly one-on-one?
Yes. Recently started doing like small group coaching, but that's more of like a fun project right now. It's a lot of like every month that I'm hosting one of these little challenge workshop things.
Yeah.
There's a Zoom call where we get together and I go over a bunch of different topics, kind of talking high level of the different intricacies and exercises. And then there's some kind of a challenge component to it. And I participate in the challenges too, because it's meant to build some aspect of personal development. This past month, it was all about connections and communicating. So there's a scoreboard and like you got points having dinners and coffee calls and you get to see everyone's updates live. So it was really exciting and
that's
it's been
fun.
Really fun.
Yeah. I mean, wait, you're not doing the meatball eating thing with them on Zoom yet?
Maybe when
you're
going to
win, Rob, you're going to win. It's so fun. I love that you do that too, because that's like completely opposite of what you're doing all day, right? When you're like working with someone one-on-one, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go eat a bunch of meatballs. I just love that.
When I was a strength and conditioning coach, I walked in with a meatball belt and everyone was like, what?
Yeah. That's true. You know, before we wrap up here, I know that I have a lot of entrepreneurs and thought leaders and coaches and stuff that listen to the show, Rob. And I want you to give them something that they could take away right now, because I know that right now, because of the conversations I have a lot of conversations. And because I have a lot of conversations, I know that people are really at that place of, how do I let something go? Will I fail? You know, like people really feel that pressure. They really think they need to be working 15-hour days or they will fail or they're not good enough, right? It does come down to a mindset and a worth thing, I've noticed. But what is like one thing you can give them or a tool or something they could put in their tool belt right now to kind of help them navigate that feeling and stop killing themselves with all of this work that they're doing?
You know, I'm a big proponent of like making sure that you're paying attention to what works for you. And the best way to do that is with some sort of a reflection practice. There's a lot of different ways of going about that. Some people like meditating, there's journaling, and you could just recording yourself. Podcasting is even a great way of reflecting on different things you've got going on, sharing about situations and stories and things. But for me personally, I really like typing things out kind of like a journal. That allows me to slow my brain down because I think much faster than what I'm saying and what I'm typing. And that forces me to kind of reflect on or recap what I've been going through recently. I mentioned earlier about different seasons, like a sprint season or a grind or like an off season. When I'm finishing up a season, I try to recap that specific time period to my best knowledge. Not only does that strengthen my memory, but it also allows me to revisit the things that I can start to see the patterns. Like, okay, maybe towards the end of a sprint season, I start to take on more clients because I'm rushing to get to the end of this, or maybe I am starting to fall off, or maybe when I'm in an off season, I'm not spending as much time creatively developing new ideas, and maybe I should spend a little bit more time on that. So some sort of reflection practice, whatever it is for you that you're most comfortable with, but something where you can revisit and remember and look forward and revise and all that great stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. And also, you know, doing the journaling and all that is also reflective of how much you've done throughout the year too, right? Because a lot of times we forget. And so we get to Q4 and we just feel like we haven't done enough. We haven't made enough. We haven't blah, 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 enough. And the truth is if you keep a journal or keep something where you can reflect, you start to take inventory and realize that, wow, wait a second. I forgot that in January I did all these stages, or I forgot that, you know, I lost this much weight, or I forgot that, et cetera, et cetera. So I love that, right? That reflection piece is important, Robin. I think it's something people don't take seriously enough. Like a lot of people think, oh, that's too woo-woo, or I don't have time. But I love that you said it, because I'm a woman. If I say it, they expect it, right? And when a man says it, it's like, oh, okay, wait, a man said it too. It's important, guys. That's what I'm getting at. It's important. So I really love that you do that. And I love that you are taking the time to work with people. I do a hybrid combo. Like I do a group so that we can go through all the logistic stuff. But I do the one-on-ones in between those. And I think you're right. There's something to be said about that, right? The hybrid or the one-on-one model, because you get to pay attention to what that person is going through. I used to do big groups, but I realized that the introvert wasn't getting any attention, you know, because the groups were too big. I don't want to do that anymore. I feel like people want to connect, right? And so I know that people are listening to you, like your vibe, like what you're doing. So I want them to connect with you. So tell us how people can, you know, follow you, work with you, all that kind of great stuff.
Yeah, best place to find me or to touch base, ask me a question, or just or comment on my meatball championship photos is social media. Instagram, LinkedIn is where I hang out most. It's just Rob Trazy, just first, last name. And then also over on my podcast, it's called Surviving the Side Hustle. I'm interviewing entrepreneurs, different coaches, side hustlers, all at different stages of their journey. So anybody who is in that kind of a bucket, you can chime in, you can relate, you can learn, you can get inspired from all these other guests. And it's a cool place. So
yeah, that's awesome. Don't you love podcasting? Isn't it like the best thing? I love it so much. How long have you been doing it?
Just about a year. I think episode 70 just released today for me, actually.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. 70 in a year. That's really great. I'm at 6 years. I think I'm at, recording, like, I think this is 500 or something at this point, but it's a long game, but it's a fun game, and we get to meet amazing humans. So Rob, thank you so freaking much for being here, for dropping the knowledge and wisdom, for just being you. Cause you're a really cool dude. I could already feel like the laid backness. I just feel like laying back and chilling right now. I don't know why, but thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.
So fun. Yeah, so fun. Guys, I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below. I want to make sure that you connect with him. Rob, I didn't ask you though, if somebody like connects with you, do you give like a discovery call or a free thing so that people can connect with you in that way? Do you do that?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. So I want to make sure I link all of that for you because, I know, cool vibe, right? Mm-hmm. I know. I like him too. So I want to make sure that you guys can reach out to him, speak to him, follow him, all that great stuff. You know, listen, when people have a skill set and they have already gotten there and you're trying to get there, do not do it alone. I tell you guys this all the time. This is the reason why, you know, experts like Rob come on here, because I want to connect you with other humans that are doing things that could relate to what you are doing or trying to achieve. Do not do it alone. When you do it with someone, whether it's a coach, a mentor, whatever, you're going to get there faster. It is the whole idea and point to get from point A to point B much faster. All right. So that's what I want to do. I want to give you guys people that have quality, that have experience, that have all this know-how so that you can really get to where you want to go and win. Thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Love you guys. Until next time.